chapter 15, when he says, "But whatsoever things were written aforetime, those things were written for our learning." That means there's some things that we ought to learn by looking at the Scriptures that were written aforetime. And he goes on and he says that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The Scriptures themselves are supposed to provide comfort and patience, and in turn give us hope. That is, the Word of God provides that. That's why we go by and go back and we look at the Word of God. And not something that some man had said somewhere, but because it's the Scriptures that are going to provide patience, and it's the Scriptures that are going to provide comfort for us. We have to go back and connect everything then to God and what God has done. If we don't do that, we're not going to get a clear picture of patience and comfort and hope as God has designed it. God is right. He always has been and He always has will be. He is wonderful. And He is great. He is a God of salvation. He is a God of redemption. And He is a God of hope. He is also a God of wrath, a God of holiness, and a God of righteousness. This God has not changed. He always has been all of these things. Learning about God lets us understand His very nature. And in turn, helps us see things about patience and comfort and hope. You see, God is going to win every single battle because He's God. God's not going to lose. But sometimes we think that maybe God might lose. He's not going to lose. He's going to win. We too have the option of whether we want to win or lose the battles that we face and ultimately the war that we are in. And make no mistake about it, folks, we're in a war. And right now in our country, we are in a war against the family. And we'll have a little more to say about that tomorrow night. But it is a war. We are being bombarded on every hand. From secular humanists to people that are in the news, from Hollywood to whomever. To professors, to teachers. There's an assault that is being made on the family. And in making an assault on the family, the assault is upon God Himself. Things through Christ that strengthens you. Does the battle really belong to the Lord? Or are you thinking the battle only belongs to you? But in their own mind, what they did was they reduced the size of God to something that they saw. God's not that size. I don't know about y'all, but my God is a big God. He's huge. He's bigger than anything you can imagine. He is so far superior and so much more powerful than anything we can ever imagine. And maybe that's part of our problem. We can't imagine it. But He is. Or if it be thy will, heal so-and-so or this person or that person. As though God's will is, you know, that He's going to cause somebody to die. When things are done according to God's will, it's according to His eternal purpose and His entire will that He has given us. He's a powerful God. And He looks after His people. And He's promised to take care of us. And part of our problem is that we are so fixed on the time in which we live that we can't see eternity. Paul said that everything that we experience in this life, all the difficulties and all the problems, they are but a light affliction. A light affliction. It's hard for us to come to grips with that. Particularly when we have a loved one that's dying of cancer. Paul says the things that we experience in this life is a light affliction. Or we see families that are being torn apart by the worldliness. Or churches that are being torn apart by the worldliness. The things that we experience, things do. But we have to be teaching our children with the view to eternity and to the next generation. I'm afraid sometimes we don't do that. You see, the mistake that they made in 1 Kings was to limit God to a location. God is not limited to any kind of location. In 2 Kings chapter 6, I know you've probably heard this, but there's a poem that goes, "What God Can Do For Me." It says, "A basketball in Michael Jordan's hands, in my hands rather, is worth about $19. Basketball in Michael Jordan's hands is worth $33 million. Doesn't it depend on whose hands it's in? A baseball in my hands is worth about $6. A baseball in Barry Bonds' hands is worth about $19 million, or maybe more. Depends on whose hands it's in. A tennis racket is useless in my hands. A tennis racket in Pete Sampras' hands is a Wimbledon championship. It depends on whose hand it's in. A rod in my hands will keep away a wild animal. A rod in Moses' hand will part the Red Sea. It depends on whose hand it's in. A slingshot in my hand is a kid's toy. A slingshot in David's hand was a mighty weapon. It depends on whose hand it's in. Two fish and five loaves in my hands are a couple of fish sandwiches. Two fish and five loaves of bread in God's hands will feed thousands. It depends on whose hand it's in. Nails in my hands might produce a birdhouse. Nails in Jesus Christ's hands will produce salvation for a lost world. It depends on whose hands it's in." And that's right. It all depends on whose hands it's in. So this morning, what we need to do, and we need to put our concerns, our worries, our cares, our fears, our hopes, our dreams, our families, and our relationship in God's hands. Because it all depends on whose hand it's in. What about you? Have you put your life in God's hands? Once you do, it'll change your life. Your concept of God will change your life. So where are you in your relationship with the Lord? Do you trust Him? Do you believe what He has said? He said, "Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you believe that? That He will do that? He talks about salvation. Not only did He talk about the bread of life, but He talked about living waters. He talked about truth. He talked about life. And He talked about eternity.